year this year, in 2009. And that is the last phase, the most inspiring phase of the seeding time, the beginning time. It's a time when the shoots that have been seeded and germinated in the one and the two now are starting to take root, show on above the surface. And if you might look out, you might, in the distance, you might, if you're on a prairie, you just look out over a wheat field and you might just see this haze of green only in the distance. You really can't see anything yet. So it's the beginning of the promise. And a time for enthusiasm, a time for creativity, a time for optimism. Difficulty is being guarding against over-optimism, particularly in the first half, which can lead to a disappointment in the second half. But it's a very useful, powerful, strengthening energy, and like the sunshine coming in this morning. And given the shocks that people had last year all around the world and the problems that they're having, it is really important because we are seeding what we will be reaping in the next few years, in 5 years or so. And so it's very important for humans to be sending out positive, energized, creative thoughts while we're doing that. And it's easy to do. You know, you walk down the street and people are walking along frowning and they're dealing with their problems or whatever, and you flash them a smile and they respond. And so in our own lives and even if you don't make a connection with somebody else, whatever our thinking is helping to raise the bar, raise the tenor of human existence a little bit. So even though there are many people that are having problems and having a hard time being happy, those of us that can find joy in our lives and can keep ourselves on a happy plane are helping to spread that to everybody. In the East, they use a symbol of the lotus flower. The lotus flower sits there looking beautiful and giving back to life. It sits there in the sunshine, and it sits on the water. And you don't know what kind of garbage and mud and everything is under the water where it draws its energy from the inside the water. But it sits there, individual, and not tarnished by where it gets its nutrient from. And so it's a good example of the necessity to be individual and to choose to be happy regardless of the circumstances and to choose to give back to life and to just sit there like a little lotus and shine. So this morning I thought we would take our three deep breaths to unify our minds on the thought of choosing to be happy. And I'd like to paraphrase the old saying that when the going gets tough, the tough stay happy. Thank you. So this morning, for your stimulation, we have two talks, two speakers, and as you can see, we have a projector and screen out for the first speaker, which is interesting. Unfortunately, those of you on the teleconference won't be able to see, but I'm sure she will let you know what's happening. And her topic this morning is called Climbing to Your Destiny. And our speaker has been a contributing Kepler student for many years. She has written many articles, and she writes magazine articles now. And she has taught our classes and been a very influential person because of her thoughtful and philosophical point of view and the fact that she writes things down and works out the details. It's always a pleasure to listen to one of her presentations. And, of course, her topic is very important because each individual has a purpose and we have a destiny. And so to talk to you about climbing to your destiny, please welcome Carly Hennigan.
Good morning. I don't have to say this in the way I was going to say it. So you all know that Garrett and I spent 2 years offshore exploring. And a year and a half of that time was spent in the Sea of Cortez, which is a very unique environment. And it's wilderness, but it's not wilderness in the sense that we think of it, with a lot of trees and water and songbirds. It's a desert and a volcano, sort of volcanic and earthquake-formed formations. And the sea is turquoise blue. It's very calm. Well, if there's not a wind, it's very calm. But it's a beautiful spot and place in the universe. And Garrett and I found that it seemed to have a unique feeling about it because it's never been inhabited, really. And anyway, so this is a presentation on, these are some thoughts I had when we did a hike in the steep hill and mountain off of Ensenada Grande. I can start it. Oh, I did. Unloading. Okay. So these are some pictures quickly of our trip, of our hike up this. This is the steep cliff that we were hiking up, and you can see the size of the boulders we were hiking on. So this is a banded lizard. That's a garret. And these are some of the flowers that we saw along the way. That's very pretty flowers, and you wouldn't expect them. And that's the view when we got to the top. That's garret after the hike. It was hot and dry. And that's the view of light wave as we came back to the boat. And that's our final swim, our swim to cool off, and the evening falls. So I'm going to read you some reflections I had as we were doing this hike. Joy, hiking up the long boulder-strewn canyon at Ensenada Grande, with the warm, dry wind of this desert canyon and the Sea of Cortez humming softly in my ears, I climb from one rock or boulder to the next. At first, when stepping over the big gaps between these huge rocks, balance is difficult, but soon I learn to shift my weight forward with each forward step so that my body is balanced over my forward foot and I no longer feel like I will fall backwards. This is so much like life. We take a step forward, but perhaps we do not put our whole being forward with that step. Perhaps subconsciously we are resisting that step, or is it something other than us resisting it? so we lose our balance and fall back. If we have not set our destination firmly in mind, we may fall back and fail to take that step forward. Walking and rock climbing through that rosy-hued canyon, surrounded by the unique desert plants and animals, feeling the caress of that softly buffeting warm wind as my muscles, joints, tendons, and bones responded to this new type of exercise, I began to think joyfully and freely. I felt at one with nature, the sounds, the smells, the feelings, the earth, the rocks and lizards, birds, chipmunks, and coyotes. And my mind completed this thought, this comparison of rock climbing to living. There is true joy in thinking, in seeing the universal relationship between and among all things. This vigorous hiking energizes and relaxes the body and brain, and thus the mind is free and energized to think on a higher plane, free from self, in tune with reason, through its closest physical representation, nature. And on that basis, on those thoughts, I developed these thoughts to present this morning. On climbing to our destiny. When we first learn of the Caballero philosophy and change our names, we begin to understand our purpose in life, and we're starting that climb towards our destiny. And the ultimate goal is to become one with the goodness of life, to become one with universal consciousness as we understand it. And that concept grows as we progress. And the first steps, as we are first students, seem to be big steps. And these are big boulders, and we're learning to climb forward. We're changing our name, we're changing our diet, change our language, our associations, and our chosen path in life. Many little changes occur. And we face different challenges from our friends and loved ones, depending on our degree of clarity of mind. It seems that the more, the clearer we are in our decision, the less challenges we encounter, fewer challenges we encounter. But nevertheless, everyone encounters those challenges. So that's when we're learning to climb. We're learning that life isn't just a party. It isn't just a 9-to-5 job where we make the money that we can spend having fun, feeding our kids. I guess feeding the kids would come first. Feeding our kids, getting the things we want in life or we need, having fun, and then going to work for another 5 days. Instead, we realize that there is a purpose to life, individually and collectively, as the human species. So often those first years of studentship, even though we have to face certain challenges that we have never faced before, we have to learn to be individual in a way we've never had to do before, and be strong-minded. Even though that is there, nevertheless, in those first few years of studentship, there is also this unbounded enthusiasm because we've had a taste of mental clarity, and we've had all of a sudden this understanding come into our lives and this clarity of mind and that has never been there before. And we begin to witness the changes within ourselves as we change our name, change our diet, change our habit, make all those things happen. We see such immediate results, and that enthusiasm often carries a new student forward. So they are leaning forward to the next boulder, the next rock, and they're not going to fall backwards for a while. Things go well, the terrain seems to have leveled off, the boulders are smaller. We have a balanced name and destiny now, and everything in our life begins to improve. And this is the danger point. This is where we may stop leaning forward towards the next step and instead totter between the next step and the last. And the danger is the comfort that we feel with this new level of balance in our lives. And we may stop looking forward and stop climbing that mountain. Perhaps we are content in our personal situation. Maybe we're our career or our job is quite satisfying now that we have a balanced name and we have a certain amount of understanding of our fellow man, so we're able to be more understanding and work with people better. And maybe our personal lives have ironed out, so our associations are smoother. But we still have to reach that goal and fulfill our conscious purpose in life to find true happiness and to really give what mankind is meant to give by being a conscious, radiating energy of truth. So that eventually we are one with the cosmos, so that we can see how all things are related, how the beat of a butterfly's wings in South America creates a hurricane in Hawaii, how humankind's wars, ignorance, machinations, and discords 1,000 years ago were the basis of the disturbances and tidal waves that rolled forward to create the confusion, warfare, physical starvation, and mental subjugation that we see in the world today. So we are lulled often by our improved lifestyle, our intelligent association with fellow students that is very satisfying and uplifting, and our comfort. The comfort is a danger point. In fact, Mr. Parker mentions it in the book, The Right Way to Health, how dangerous comfort is. So we stop climbing, and yet the hill is still there, and we still have to walk forward. So what happens is we totter, and we fall back. And you have to try this rock climbing to perhaps understand what I mean. But if you're walking from one big boulder to another, and there's a little, not a big canyon, but a little, you know, hurt yourself area in between, you have to lean forward. So you have to have an act of faith that you're going to make it, and that your ankles and your knees and your body is going to make it. Because if you don't lean forward, then you kind of topple a little bit, and then you might fall. So that's what seems to be the analogy, that we, in becoming too comfortable, we fail to put our whole being into moving forward. So we have to change our stance. Just like when stretching our legs from one rock to a higher one, to put our whole being into the next step. We may want to be more individual and independent, self-motivated and energetic. We may want to be more diplomatic, gentle and understanding. We may want to be happier, more buoyant, responsive, giving and optimistic, be more fun to live inside of and be with. We may want to be more patient, studious and logical, and to be able to complete our thoughts and develop them. We may want to be more versatile, loose-limbed, quick of mind and body, and receptive and sensitive to truth. Or be more mature, confident, caring, responsible, and strong-minded. We may want to be more thoughtful, pensive, contemplative, and to be able to lie down in a field of daisies and find peace. We may want to be more broad-minded, generous, and understanding, conceiving and creating the successful wholeness that is our birthright. We may want to be more giving, selfless, and universal, more aware of the needs of the many and less of the needs of self. We may want to simply win a beginner's squash tournament. But to achieve each step of growth, whether it's physical, mental, creative, or career, or spiritual, we have to put our whole being into it. We have to lean forward. Otherwise, we may achieve one little section, but it isn't permanent. It's like people who go on fad weight loss diets. It's not permanent because their whole concept isn't really in it. And they haven't changed all aspects of their thinking. So we have to change our habits of attitude, physical action or inaction, expression. We have to leave self-opinion and loyalty to self behind. And we have to be humble to the perfection of the principle for the good of the all. And that may be quite a conflict with what our feelings are and our loyalty to self and our self-impression and our sort of concept of dignity, etc., or self-importance. So we have to lean forward and leave the false security of all those habits and comforts behind. It's like leaning forward to the next rock, and we're leaving the last rock behind, and there's a point in between where, oops, you know, we might fall. So we have to lean forward with our whole being. And if we don't put our whole mental, physical, and spiritual being, and if we don't put our whole effort into the steps of progress we want to make, then the negative planes of mind that we have in our past will sabotage us. And that isn't something from outside. It's not something, you know, some boogeyman's going to get us. It's because perhaps in the past we were a procrastinating person, which is a negative plane of mind. Or perhaps we were moody. Or perhaps we were sarcastic. And the negative thoughts that come through those old habits will sabotage our efforts to go forward. So there's no such thing in taking a half measure when we want to progress. If we really want to progress, we have to do it with our all. So here are some of the things that I thought might help us to generate and maintain a forward momentum to step successfully from one rock to the other. Meanwhile, I'm just going to start this so that these pictures will keep going forward. Unless this thing's gone off. No pictures.
Technology's always.
Thanks. So here's some of the things to generate and maintain a forward momentum. Write out our goals every month, at the beginning of every month, as soon as possible in the month. Write them out. And it's a good idea to have a separate piece of paper, print them so they're very clear, make categories like physical goals, well, for instance, objectives for this month, physical goals, mental goals, creative career goals, spiritual goals. And then review and focus on those goals for a few minutes every morning. And focusing on them means visualizing them and going through in our mind what is required to accomplish it, perhaps with a little pencil, making a note on the page, what we can do next. Another point is to create a philosophical focus for every day. So we may know what cycle we're in, but we have to physically sit down and write it out ourselves and say, okay, what's the spiritual potential of a 2-4 day? What's the preferred action of a 2-4 day? And then create a philosophical focus for the day. Perhaps it's the thought of, what was it Mr. Parker said in that handout for New Year's Eve? I can't remember what it was, but if we can have some philosophical focus for every day, preferably, well, some thought we've gleaned from a class or from philosophical writing or even something we're working on in ourselves, and we keep bringing our thought back to that focus, and then we can write our little to-do list about all the little things we want to do to achieve our goals. So just make it not too long, because then it will, well, we won't do anything. We'll be overwhelmed. So then another point is to challenge ourselves to break old physical habits. And this might include walking at a certain, the old habit might be walking at a certain lethargic speed. So we might pick up our speed in our walking. It might be never really exerting ourselves beyond our comfort level so that we might, say, go for a run, but we stop after 6 blocks or after 10 minutes. And the key with really energizing our body is to push past our physical comfort level and make ourselves go further. another habit might be never trying a new physical exercise or game or something that will stimulate our body and our mind. So we just never try it. You see people cycling around, but we never do it. Or we hear people going kayaking, but we never do it. And those physical exercises help to stimulate the whole body. It depends on the type of exercise. Kayaking would require a certain amount of exercise, but say running, playing squash, tennis, those sorts of things require far more. And it requires a lot of mental effort, which breaks up the mind and the body. It's not just a physical thing. It's mind over matter. So it's exercising the mind. But also speeding up the vibration of the body, getting the blood moving, and all those things will help us to have the energy to do what we want to do. Another thing is to break old physical habits, like maybe picking at our fingernails or nails or playing with our hair, twitching or throwing our hair. Another physical habit might be sleeping in or oversleeping. Another thing might be talking about people, which is a physical and mental habit. If we indulge in talking about people, well, we can just forget progress, because that is such a negative plane of mind, and it's going to just sabotage everything we want to accomplish. And another thing that we have to do to create that forward momentum in our life is to stay happy. And as Harrison said, when the going gets tough, the tough stay happy. And Mr. Shearing once said, staying happy is as simple as ABC, always be constructive. So it's not a big thing, you know. I mean, you can't sit around thinking, oh, I'm not happy. What am I going to do? That's just sort of living and feeling. But if we if we say, okay, I'm not feeling too perky right now, what can I do? Like, okay, there's things I have to do towards my goals. Or if that's not going to get us outside of ourselves enough, then go and do something for someone else. Call someone up, ask them how they're going. Go visit Melita or anyone else who needs a visit. So that's a very helpful thought, I find. Stay happy. Staying happy is as simple as ABC. Another point is to give some thought and energy to others and to the universe every day. In our breathing exercises, we do end the first set with a fourth vibratory, where we are endeavoring to send energy out to the world. And Mr. Shearing has referred sometimes recently to a thought of sending a gentle wind, a gentle breeze of love and understanding and mental clarity out into the world to counteract the hurricanes that have been deliberately put in place by machinations of wicked people over the years. So the world needs that energy right now, and if we always really, but particularly now, because people are under stress and people are worried, so to give kindness and understanding to our fellow man when we're with people, to be kind to them, when we're with the public, particularly people who don't have the privilege of the principle, to give, be smile, tell jokes, make them happy, because people need it. And it's amazing how people will change when a person who's conscious of the principle and is conscious of the laws of life reaches out to them, because we understand what is their potential. So we are reaching into their solar plexus and lifting them when we are giving to them. It's not just a surface thing. I spend a few minutes each evening reviewing our day and writing out our reflections and thoughts. Just a few minutes. If we go, oh, I have to write for half an hour, well, then we might not do it. But if we just sit down with that book and a note and a nice pen and just say, okay, well, what have I accomplished today? And not just that, but what are your reflections on the day? What is your philosophical development in thought? Like, what are you learning to understand? This is the most important thing. And to shake up the body, run, walk fast, cycle, put more energy and focus than ever before into the breathing. Shaking up the body is really, really, really important. study some philosophy every day and note questions as they occur and submit them to the person who wants them. And if we stumble and we feel ourselves leaning back towards the rock or the hill behind us, ask why and pick ourselves up out of that little crevasse and climb back up on top of the rock and create a forward momentum. Keep moving forward. Eventually, we will reach the top of the mountain where we are clear of the limitations of self and can see clearly how we can give to life. Instead of being a part-time friend, we will be a full-time friend. Instead of being a part-time expression of consciousness, we will be a full-time expression of consciousness. And the view from the mountaintop, people who don't climb that mountain will never know. They'll never know what they missed. They'll never see the vastness of the mountains unfolding in front of them and the sea rippling. They'll never see the relationship of one thing to the other. But that's what we have ahead of us. And if we keep moving forward, everything and anything is possible.
Thank you, Carly. That was an inspirational thought for our week and more than our week for our lives ahead. Our next speaker is going to speak about keep happy in Happy New Year. And Dora Delane has been very active for many years in presenting the philosophy, Kabbalah philosophy, to new students and to her fellow students. She has taught many of our courses, been one of the key instructors in life analysis training in those courses. She has given many public presentations, even to young people in schools, and she is the head consultant for the name analysis and name recommendation department. So, of course, her talk is very important to us as well, especially at this time because we've just started the new year. So to tell us about how to keep the happy and Happy New Year, please welcome Dora Delane.
Thank you, Harrison. Well, I could stand here and say ditto of what Carly just said. Her talk was very inspiring. And, gosh, the many points she said are so relative to what the subject is, keep the happy and Happy New Year. And this thought was inspired by Laura Brown, actually, from the New Year's program, because that's what our entertainment was about. Keep the happy in the Happy New Year. Why do we say Happy New Year? Can we just say New Year? Bring in the New Year? Why do we say Happy Birthday? Well, it's a saying we've said since we've been born. And we look forward to it because it's another birthday. We don't look forward to getting a year older. Do we look forward to being a year happier? How many of us have thought of it from that point of view? And yet underlying it all, that is what it really means, is to make another year a happier year. We're getting older, so we should be getting wiser. Well, we are getting wiser. And in getting wiser, we are happier. Now, there's an old saying, happiness is different things to different people. And that is actually true. There is an ultimate concept of happiness that applies to each and every one of us and doesn't differ between the king and the queen and the president of the states as compared to the person that mops the floor. So doesn't matter our lot in life, but what it does matter is how we think about life. Now, the dictionary describes happiness and the word happy in many, many different ways. They say it's a state of well-being characterized by emotions ranging from contentment to intense joy. Emotions experienced when in a state of well-being, or another way of saying it in the dictionary, is that happiness is the pleasurable experience that springs from possession of good or the gratification of desires. Happiness is often felt as an expansive or swelling feeling in the chest and the sensation of lightness or buoyancy, as if standing underwater. Now, to some, standing underwater could be a fear. Not very happy. But I think the point is, it creates a lift because you buoy out of the water. So it's that lifting, charging. It is an energy. On Google, happiness is a Japanese adult novel. Happiness is a single song by an American rock band. George Burns says, happiness is the large, loving, close-knit family in another city. So what does that mean? Think of the songs about the word happiness. You know, the bluebird of happiness? Happy days are here again. Sunny side of the street. How many jokes and quips are made around happiness? Because it is true. It does bring that buoyancy and that lift to people. Remember the young story of Pollyanna and the glad game? There was always something to be glad about. Look at the sunshine. Isn't that beautiful? How many challenges have we had over the last few weeks of, oh my goodness, another foggy gray day? Do you remember the day when you walked out a few days ago? It was like an aha moment. There's a little more brightness in the air. There's a little more brightness in the sky. Did you feel it? Did you experience it? It was like boing. It was an amazing experience. And today is even, someone when I walked in this morning said, I want to sit in the dark today because let's have the sunshine in. And I thought, what a good point. And that's true. The sun actually is always shining. So it's a matter of how are we perceiving it and conceiving it so that it becomes a part of our lives. Dr. Chow said, in the exercising of the breath and the stretching, a laugh a day is important because it is an uplifting energy. She also said a hug a day is important, so we got to work on that one. You know the knock-knock jokes, who's there? The happy gang, well, come on in. All these different phrases have been created, really, because there's a recognition that we do need to be lifted and to be happy. And as our speaker alluded to, the points, that it is a prime part of our lives and how important it is to have that energy lift. Now, we haven't all had the privilege of going to the Sea of Cortez for 2 years or down there for periods of months, and it's wonderful to share in a beautiful experience. And now the presenters from that experience came back and shared the experience they had. So we, too, can feel like we went on that journey. You know, we don't always have to travel to be lifted. Traveling does help, and it is very important because it's a change. But what about every day going to work? We can say, oh, it's a drudge. I have to go in the car and go down that street and get to that job and be there by 9 o'clock. Well, unfortunately, we have chosen that lifestyle. Or fortunately. I shouldn't say unfortunately, that's a negative. So in choosing that lifestyle, we come to appreciate that we have set in motion a purpose in our lives. So are we going to make every day a walk from the boulder to boulder to boulder in the Sea of Cortez through experiencing success every day? Now, the thought was expressed, happiness is as easy as ABC. Well, that would be wonderful if it is. And actually, as we have just heard and we've read, it is, because it is a choice. Happiness is a choice. And the point about the ABCs is always be constructive. And so as we gain a concept of how to be constructive, which is what the philosophy is all about, then happiness becomes the outgrowth of whatever we do. Mr. Parker writes, keep happy thoughts. And I'm sure we think of that many times, and it should be a plaque on our walls every day because it gives us the focus. Happy thoughts are healthy thoughts? Then keep happy thoughts. What does keep happy thoughts mean? Well, it is the energy behind what we do. There is a spiritual side of happiness, as was pointed out, but there is the physical, mental, and spiritual application of keeping happy thoughts. It doesn't mean laughing like a Cheshire cat every second, although that might keep us happy, and if that's what's needed, then we should have a smile on our lips and a chuckle. But when we're knee-deep in alligators or knee-deep in accounting or knee-deep in solving someone's problem, sometimes it is a little difficult to think, how can I keep happy? But I guess the key is on the objective of what we're doing, of keeping that overall ideal that we always have to maintain a certain mental level. And if we do drop, which we do because we know we have these little swings, that we can always climb back, we can always get to that point where there's that evenness. But the more we can conceive how to maintain a level of clarity, then that happiness will be a maintenance in our everyday actions. You know that point about happiness is? Maybe it's more money to some people. Maybe it's having a better standard of living, or maybe it's doing something for someone else. Those are all a part of the material plane. And yes, the dollar is important to have a good standard of living. But behind it all, there has to be some spiritual goal or application to a reason for wanting to be happy. It's interesting, I listened to a radio station recently, and the person was talking about growing to live a happy life. And they had a momentous realization one day that they weren't happy. And what were they going to do to create it? And they came to the reality that giving was the key. And that is the key, or the foundation in the Kabbalah philosophy that we've been so privileged to learn about. This person had a fear, a very, very serious fear. So what? Because they wanted to become a comedian. So they studied under all the professional comedians, and they did extremely well. But at a certain point, this person realized he wasn't spontaneous. He could do it because he knew the principles were right of how to be a comedian, but it didn't come from within until he learned certain principles. But interesting enough, his name was Skip. Now, we all know what Skip means mathematically. It means a 9-1-1 combination. And isn't it interesting that that person felt that self-limitation? Natural. It's logical. And it wasn't until he could conceive the principle of how to free himself that he could overcome that fear, that insecurity. But how sad that that person is going through life with that cap on his life still of that mathematical quality. So in the Kabbalah philosophy, we've discovered that there are principles behind how to keep happy. We've discovered they're in the five basic truths: mathematics, language, name, mind, and consciousness. Those are the principles upon which true happiness can be created. Mr. Parker also said, the true state of happiness is when we have the balance between the physical, mental, and spiritual laws in our lives. So we've gained these basic principles. As was mentioned, we came into the philosophy because someone gave us an opportunity or because we were seeking an answer. We discovered that mathematics creates balance through our minds, through our names. we discovered that our time of birth represents our potential. And we teach this in life analysis training, that the happiness factor is the harmony between our potential and our thought pattern. And as we harmonize those two principles, then the outgrowth is that buoyancy, is that freedom, is that expression of our higher side or our higher nature. And as we give expression to that, there is the true happiness and freedom. We've learned that there are 9 basic mathematical qualities that all life functions on. Well, spiritually, there are 12. But on the finite plane, we work within the dimensional law of the principle of 9. So learning to incorporate those 9 qualities has to be the foundation of true happiness. So what is happiness to the one quality? It's that independence, that freedom, that opportunity to have self-creativity, to be recognized as a leader, not through self, but as the recognition that you have that freedom to work in an independent manner. No man's an island. And even though the one thinks I can do it on my own, and yes, we have to, but there has to be a reason why we're doing that self-creativity. There has to be a reason why we want to be independent. And if we can't lead others to see how it could be done, then the leadership just becomes self-oriented. So the more the one can recognize this power of creativity and independence in developing their principles in life and their concept of how to create new paths and new directions, then the one will have that freedom and that true happiness. The two quality is known as the peacemaker, one that creates harmony amongst people. Often it's done because the two does heal the insecurities or the tensions around them. We shouldn't respond because we feel tensions around us, although it's nice to be aware and not be ignorant of what's happening. But it should be a natural flow because you sense and feel the need within your environment. So there is a slight difference between being washed over by this emotional feeling and being intuitive and sensitive to what the need is and saying something or doing something that brings a win-win situation in relationships. The three quality. The three is that happy-go-lucky, self-expressive quality. Why is it there? Why do we need the three quality? Ah, who wants to be lighthearted? We've got to be serious in life. Well, thank heavens there's the three in the evolution of the numbers. Because how many of us feel that buoyant lift when someone has done something spontaneous, given a gift, given a smile, created a philosophical concept that we have an aha moment? And isn't that when we feel the greatest inspiration? Now, doing something funny or saying a joke, saying, what has 4 legs and 2 arms? A chair! That wasn't my joke. That was in a book of jokes. That's the kind of thing that the three quality does. And it's for a purpose. But let's take that three level and put it to a conscious expression. What about that phrase? I believe the spoken word is the only channel of conscious expression. But that's a battling thought, and even though we've been given an answer to it, it's still something that needs a lot of thought. But think about it. The spoken word is the only channel. Link it to the three quality. Without that power of lifting, you cannot generate growth in life. And as we move along to the 7 quality, we're not saying that the 7 doesn't have conscious expression. We're just saying it's only the 3. But it is something to think about, how important and how vital it is to give verbal expression to the power of the word, because it's a transference of energy. What about the 4 quality? It's that scientific, methodical quality. We think, well, gee, I don't want to be so practical. I want to be lighthearted. But if we don't understand the facts of life and the practical application and how to teach others how to experience this knowledge, then we've missed an important component, and that is the strength of the four quality. The five wanders the earth looking for new opportunities. Not wrong, because they're searching truth. And when the five finds the truth, then they deliver it through the power of the word as well. You know, so many times we think we need to stay in a certain routine because this is my nature. But in incorporating the five quality, we realize how important it is to have variety. Just like Carly was saying, we can sit at home and think about what we want to do, or we can take an action. And it doesn't have to be a big step. It's just another step. Watching an Oprah program one time, the key that she was offering was make one change, and that one change will change your life. And then the other little thought was expressed, take only 1 minute, 60 seconds in a morning, and think about something that you want to create. And you know what she said? Take a deep breath for 1 minute. I thought, we know that. Now, fortunately, we have the principle of breathing, and we do take more than one minute of a breath. She didn't mean stop breathing after the minute. But the thought was creating the awareness of how important it is to make a change. And if we're never conscious how important that 1 minute per breath is, then we aren't going to grow. And we have that privilege in the philosophy. So taking that for the five quality, instead of having a dinosaur drawer of scuba diving equipment and knitting needles that we used once, and now I know how to knit a sock, I don't have to do it again. Starting singing lessons, think, well, I can open my mouth now, I don't need to sing again. Learning accounting, well, I can add 1 and 1 makes 2, I don't have to do anything more. You know, the five quality gets stimulated but stops. So then it has to go to the sixth quality. And we have to say, hey, let's stabilize our life. Let's take this serious. You know, life is serious. And it is. In fact, that's the joke. It's almost too serious. Look around us at the confusion in the world today. What is lacking today? People are so concerned. But on the other side, the outgrowth of it is people are waking up more. You know, we were so privileged. Some of us were too young to realize fully what Mr. Parker was saying. But he said he really realized he wouldn't want to live in the next generation, in the years to come, because it saddened him to realize the conditions that were going to be in the world. And, of course, some of our little, small, ununderstanding minds thought, well, how could we say that? Because we have to live in the next generation. But he wasn't meaning it selfishly. He was recognizing the importance of taking life seriously, that life is going to change. And the only key to creating balance, harmony, and success in life is understanding and applying these principles. And hasn't that been our rod that we've relied upon? That's the serious responsibility that the spark of life takes through the sixth quality. Then the seventh quality is looking for something above the finite, looking into the theory, looking into the mystery of life. Well, if we get lost in the mystery, we can go off in the deep end. So we have to bring the mysteries down in a practical way. So the seven-ish quality does it through thoughtfulness, through writing, through the power of the pen, through being able to converse with people in a more gentle way. And we all need to incorporate that concept. Then we have the eight quality. What is the strength of the eight? That evenness. You know, the judge says, you committed a crime? Go to jail. Well, that's not rebalanced, is it? That's just a system. But there are times, with understanding and principle, we have to be that cut and dry. We have to be able to look at something totally free from our emotional feelings, and say to ourselves, what is needed at the moment? Now, it's not our place to be the judge, the Lord, and the crack the whip over everyone. That is not our place. We see something that's being done, and maybe it's different to the way we would do it, or we don't like what a person said, or we just think it should have been said that way, and we feel we should jump in and tell the person all the ways of which they should be changing. Doesn't work, does it? Because we become judgmental. So that's where that weakness comes in from the eight. But the strength is so sterling to have that evenness of temperament, to be able to look at something more objectively and more freely. Then we have the nine quality, the human, humanitarian, beautiful expression of life. They'll give the shirt off their back if that's what needed, if needed. They'll give their boots too. Because there is such a desire to see harmony, oneness, and happiness amongst people. And so the nine quality brings that broadness and that universality into one's life. And we might say, I'm not a nine birth path. I have no, well, we do with balanced names. We have nine in our makeup. But it may not be a predominant part of who we are. Guess what? We have the nine quality part of every 12 hours, every, well, I guess 24 hours, because the hours have a cyclic influence. The days have a nine pattern cyclic influence. The months, the years, we go through the expression of that nine quality constantly. The one, the two, the three, the four, the five, six, seven, eight, nine. We go through the energy of that. We are touched by that energy throughout our every living, breathing existence. And so, unbeknown to us, we are touched by the happiness of the true spiritual power of the nine qualities. That is actually the key. And possibly, that's why the ABCs of happiness can be so easy, because we have an opportunity constantly to express the higher side of the spiritual potential. So in appreciating more and more how important these qualities are, we come to realize that we have such a key at our fingertips that we can apply. And yes, there are difficulties in our lives, and there are challenges, and there are fears. But we have the key to understand how to overcome them. We've recently become much more aware of how everything is energy in life. I mean, Mr. Parker talked about energy. It's the vibrational power of life. It's in the first book of our mathematical course. How everything is a frequency. Our cells are a frequency. And they draw from the frequency of our thought pattern, the frequency of our minds. And so the more we can change the frequency within the thought pattern, the more the whole physical being becomes more alive. And as was pointed out earlier, we just need to make one little change, and we change our perspective. We think we can't walk a little faster. Well, maybe we can. Guess what? Those little peptides in our body just start to speed up and get so excited and happy. So we've made a little single change. And I watched a little movie recently called The Ultimate Gift. It really had quite an impact. And just very briefly, it was a story about James Garner, who had made a video before his passing. And his video was read at his passing to his family and the inheritance. And what the whole lesson was to teach the family what was important in life. He was a trillionaire, billionaire. And everyone in the family was sitting around the table and so excited because they were going to get this little part of the business and that part of the business, and they were going to get a million over here. But to their surprise, most of the family members only maintained what they had, and some of them had a credit card that could be used all their life, so they weren't wanting. Some had beautiful big homes and part of the company. They weren't wanting. But there was a nephew that lived high on the credit card. And he was given, he thought, absolutely nothing. In fact, the credit card was taken away because he went out for dinner one night and there was no funds in the bank account. So he started questioning, what's happened to the bank account? What happened to the credit card? So he had to go back to the lawyers and he had to listen to this, watch this video. And so he had to go through these successive steps. And the first one, was going down to Texas and working with the partner who worked with James Garner. He had to do some toiling work, you know. He had to put some fences in. He didn't like it. But you know what? After a few weeks, he was so proud that he had a straight row of fences. Then he came back and thought, great, I've done that. I'm going to be given my billions. Uh-uh. He had to go through successive stages until, and he was going to give up, and if he gave up, he lost everything. But all he was told is he was going to get the ultimate gift. He kept thinking it was money until he finally was told he has to have a true friend in his life. So he phoned up a buddy. Because his credit card didn't work, he had no place to live when he came back home. So he phoned up a buddy, wanted a place to live, to stay for a few nights, had no money. Oh, I'm really sorry, I'm going out of town. No, no, can't help you. Because his buddy knew he had no money, right? So the moral of the story was this little girl came into his life, and they became true friends. Little girl had a health problem. He didn't know it, but they finally bonded, and he learned a lesson that the ultimate gift in life is the power of giving. And it was very touching. He ended up getting his billions and trillions. But he had to go through the successive stages to come to this realization. So the moral of the story is true happiness can be maintained. We have 337 more days in the year of 2009. So we have the keys, we have the tools, we have the steps. And each and every one that is working with the philosophy has already expressed the principle of happiness. But we can stretch it to another level. So let's work together to make these next 337 days as productive, progressive, and as fulfilling and happy as we possibly can. As we work together, uniting our efforts to create an energy out into the world that the Kabbalah philosophy is known as the happiest principle on earth. Thank you.